on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the fourth line, Gufa. And once again, it's Rosh Chodesh. So, we gotta move. Alright. In the Gemara yesterday, we talked about Guram Chimutz, causing Chimutz to happen indirectly. You put your starter down on the dough, the starter being the piece of sourdough that you're using to get things going in terms of the fermentation process. And the idea, as we said yesterday, quoting Tosfos, is that putting the starter down on top of the dough doesn't really generate chimutz. That doesn't cause real chimutz to happen under normal circumstances. If, in the end, it actually does happen anyway, we said you're not going to be chayef, you're not going to be liable. And we linked it to roasting meat and simply putting the meat down on the coals but not turning it. So the Gemara wants to revisit this idea about liability for roasting meat where you didn't actually turn the meat. Gufa. Fourth line there. Amar Rava bar Barchana Amar B'Yochanan. Hiniach baso agabe gecholim, hifech bo chayev, lo hifech bo pater. He says, if you put the meat down on the coals and you don't turn it, you're actually pater, you're exempt from liability. Parenthetically, I saw in some Sfarim, they ask, you may be pater in terms of bishul, in terms of cooking, but remember the Gemara in Beitza talks about liability for the fact that when you put meat on the coals and it drips on the coals, it puts out the... right, Muhammad's putting out the coals to a certain extent. So that's a discussion in its own right, which they're not entertaining here. Pater, for our purposes, means in terms of bishul. We're not entering into any other elements that are relevant. So, hey chidami, what's your case? If you're telling me that because you don't turn the meat doesn't actually roast, so pshita, so why is this even a question? You don't need to tell me if you didn't cook your pater. That I could have told you. Ella, the ilo mahapich le'nami have a bashil, and if you're going to go to the opposite extreme and say it actually cooks on its own, and yet you're pater. Even though you did all the actions that were necessary to generate cooking, you're still pater. Amai lo machayev. Why are you pater? Why shouldn't you be chayev? You did the actions. So, lo. Tricha, you need it for the following case, the intermediate case. Di lo hivech be hava bashal mitzad echod ke Michael ben Drusoy. Michael ben Drusoy, remember, is the thief who would even run. So there's some machlokis as to what exactly Michael ben Drusoy is. Rashi here says that shlish bishulo, reaching one-third of its cooking. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, Choshavis, Pertes Halacha, he says it's chatzi bishulo, it's halfway. Going one-third or one-half is a chumra for certain rules, a kula for other rules. But either way, it's one-third or one-half of the cooking. And the idea is that if you simply put the meat down on the coals and you don't go any further, it'll reach Meichel Ben Drusai on one side. V'chimahapich bay, if you were to turn the meat to Bashil, then it would really roast. Then it would roast on both sides to the extent of Meichel Ben Drusai, u'kamash malan. And what we're learning here is, dekol mitzarechad kemeichel ben drusoi lo klumu. That reaching meichel ben drusoi on one side is not halachically significant. The Griz, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, says it's not that it's not called meichel ben drusoi because it's only on one side. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that you're not liable for it. That's called beneath the minimal act of cooking. Much like for the other malachos of Shabbos, let's say hotzah, we say that midi oraisa, if I carry out something that's not significant to me, that's not called hotzah on Shabbos, on a biblical level. If I happen to have a fragment of tissue that's not usable for blowing my nose, that's not called hotzah for biblical liability. So too here, if you cook meat to the extent that one side of it is Meichel Ben Drusoi and the other side is raw, that's not called cooking. That's what we are proposing here. That's our opening shot. Now we're going to get two different versions of Rava's spin-off comments. Amar Rava, first version. Rava says, "Vim nitzla bo ki grogeres mitzad echad b'makom echad chayev." Rava says that if I get a dried figs quantity on one side that is actually fully roasted, not Meichel Ben Drusoi, but it's fully roasted. Interesting that we go from the term bishul here to the term tzlia. The whole thing should have been tzlia. I don't know why exactly it took Rava to introduce the verb for us. But he says, if you go to full tzlia on and Guagera's amount on one side, you are going to be chayav. So Amale Ravina l'Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, b'makom echad in b'shnayim o shlosha mekomos lo. What about if you have multiple spots that combine to reach a grogeris amount? Do I say that's halachically significant? What about those? From Rava's statement, it sounds like it's not. Rava said only if they're in one place. And he says, I want to make an analogy to punching holes in a surface. Vatanan, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos which says, HaKodeach Kolshu Chayev. If you punch holes in a surface and it's just a minimal hole, you're still Chayev. You're still going to be chayav. So I am assuming.
For what? Sifting?
No. There's no sifting involved here. This is punching a hole in a surface.
So what?
So punching a hole in a surface is a form of bona. You're building something functional.
But you're destroying.
No. You're building something. Hang on. You're building something functional. When you make a hole in a surface, you now have either a storage area or something that I can use as a hook. I have something that is made functional. Destruction, by definition, is where there is no use for it. The point here is that I do have a use. We're going to define a use in a moment in the Gemara for what I would do with a minimal size hole. You'll see. I'll blow the ending. It's where you're going to use a key. And you need something. You need a hole in which the tooth of the key is going to fit. So that's our issue. That you're going to make the surface more functional, and therefore it's a form of construction. So he says, we've learned that you're liable for kodeach kolshu, making even a small hole. And he understands. Ravina understands that actually doesn't mean one small hole. What it means is multiple small holes which combine to a big one. And he says, you're liable for that. We'll see it in the Gemara in a moment. And that should be parallel to roasting tiny spots that combine to reach a grogeris. Heichidami, he says, what's our case here in the hole punching case? Ilim b'makom echad, if you mean just a hole, a minimal hole in one spot, kol shu l'maychazi, what's the function? That can't be what we're talking about. You want to be chayav for that. Elala b'shnayim u'shlosha mekomos, it must be talking about two or three small holes, d'chazal u'tziruf, such that they could be combined to make a larger hole. And isn't that analogous to the roasting case? To which he said, "Lo, of course not. Lo l'mamakom echad. It's not talking about multiple small holes. It's talking about one small hole. That's kol shu. That's all. Then what is it suitable for? The chazu lebava or lekacha de aklida. It's suitable for the tooth of a key. Rashi says lebava de aklida l'shein. It should say l'shein, not l'shon. L'shein shel mafteach. The tooth of a key. Sherosho chad. The end of it is sharp. It's pointed. V'tochvan besoch hateva uposeach v'noel. You stick it into a box." And use it to open and close. Right, if you remember the Mishnahs and Kalim that go on at length as to the different types of locks and keys that you had, the most basic is a simple bolt with a tooth on the end of it. It would lock into something, and that's what you would use to open and close the container.
But the roasted meat, you're not putting it on to have little spots to cook fully.
Right.
You don't know that. It's a
right. This is an umdana. This is us attempting to read the mind of the person doing the roasting. That's what this is. They trying to figure out what is the norm. What do people normally expect? And you're right, you are mind reading. But that you have to, because in order to determine what's minimally significant, if you remember the Gemara in Shabbos, when they talked about Hotzah, transporting things on Shabbos, and they said, if you take this outside, it's this amount, and that outside, it's that amount, because this is the minimal amount that people will eat, or this is the minimal amount they'll give to their animals, or this is the minimal amount they'll use for themselves. We're engaged in mind reading all the time.
But the hole punching is certain. Your punching holes definitely to do something.
Yeah, but maybe what I really wanted was something larger, and I just didn't succeed.
Is it a hit or miss? Is it going to cook several spots fully or not? I mean, you don't know.
I don't know. Well, yeah, you have certain guidelines for cooking.
You look at Sahib, this idea. You need something small that it's enough, the minimal.
Yeah, but it's purposeful.
You could argue the cooking is purposeful also. I am not a chef, but I've cooked. And, you know, I know if I leave it on for a certain number of minutes, this will be my result. You know, it's not so vague.
Fire could have different hot spots. Each and every time, it's not a.
I suspect that's partly because we tend to view barbecuing on a flame as a hobby, as something that we do occasionally, as opposed to them who, this is the way they cook. They don't have other options. So I suspect that if you cook normally over a flame, you have a better idea of to what extent you need to leave it on and what size the flame is and all that in order to...
Coals versus flame.
Yeah. I'm gonna plead Rosh Chodesh at this point. But again, Rava, the first version of Rava is that if I fully roast, but it's only a grogeris amount, I am chayav. Ravina says, I want to combine multiple spots, and he is defeated. So that the rule in the end, if Rava's first version is, that for meat, it's specifically one space, and for holes, it's specifically one hole. That's, you don't combine multiple holes. Ve'ika de Amri, alternate edition of this, middle of the page on Zayin Amad Aleph, Amar Rava, afilu b'shnayim u'shlosha mekomos, you're going to be chayav, Rava himself says, even if it's a combination of two or three spots. So Amale Ravina la Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, oh, that's just like the holes. Instead of now being a challenge, now is just the agreeing. Avananami tanena hakodech kol shu chayav. Hey chidami, what's your case? And then you say that if you make a minimal hole, you're chayav. Ilim b'makom echad, if it's one small hole in one small spot, kol shu l'maychazi, what's the use of one little hole? El alav b'shnayim u'shloshim makomos t'chazi l'tziruf. Isn't it talking about multiple small holes that are going to be combined into one big one? Well, not necessarily. I'll tell you, it's one small hole. It's suitable for the tooth of a key. So within this version of things, Rava is the one who says multiple spots work. Ravina tries to make an analogy to the holes, and we say, well, the holes may only be in one, maybe a one hole case, so maybe the holes are not a proof. But for meat, multiple spots do work. So that's the difference between the first version and the second version. In the first version, meat in multiple spots does not combine. In the second version, meat and multiple spots do combine. We end up saying the same thing regarding the holes, that the holes are not necessarily multiple. The holes could really be even just one hole. As long as it has a function, you're liable for building it. That's the upshot of this tangent. Which returns us to Menachos. We're going to get a number of halachos regarding making a mincha chametz, and I brought you the keep sukkim, the key thing, get it, the key, for the discussion for the rest of the daf there on your sheet. Kol mincha asher takriv l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz, the mincha shall not be made chametz ki chasor v'chol dvash lo saktir v'menu yishel Hashem. And then korban rishis takrivo sam l'Hashem v'elam isbeach lo ya'alu l'reach nichalach. And we're gonna break these psukim down in the ensuing Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Brisa says, Ilu ne'amar asher takrivu l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz. Had you just had the pasuk that said that which you're going to bring to Hashem, don't make into chametz. Hayisi omer ainli belo se'aseh chametz ela kometz bilvad. I would have said the only thing that's subject to the rule of it shall not be made into chametz is the kometz itself. That's the kometz may not be made into chametz, but mincha minayin. How do I know about the rest of the mincha? And Rashi stresses here we mean before you do the kmitza, because we already had the discussion about shirayim. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about now is, before I do the kmitza, my mincha is sitting in the kli, how do I know that I haven't yet identified the kometz? How do I know that that mincha may not be made chametz, and if I do, I am liable? Talmud lomar mincha. The word in the pasuk is mincha. That teaches me, even pre-kmitza, the whole mincha.
But the kmitza is out of the mincha.
No. This is before the kmitz has been done. In other words, in my starting stage, I bring my flour. Maybe I bake it, maybe I don't, depending on what it is. But I bring my flour in the beginning, and then I do kmitza and I take out the kmitza. What if before I did the kmitza, it becomes chametz? Am I chayav? And the answer is yes, because the Torah uses the word mincha. Right. Sha'ar menachos minayin. In context, the pasuk that we quoted is talking about a minchas marcheshes. How do I know about non-minchas marcheshes that the rule is the same? Tamalomar kol ha-mincha. Kol ha-mincha, we're taking to mean any mincha. And then we say, well, the pasuk says, Asher takrivu l'Hashem, so k'shera v'lo psula, only that which you are going to bring as a mincha. Mikan amru, meaning that which is kosher. Mikan amru, amach mitzvah, k'shera chayiv as psula potter. You're only chayiv if you do it with a mincha that is kosher l'akrava. We now get two challenges, one from Rav Papa, one from Rav Mari, both of them are going to end in teku. Boy, Rav Papa asks, chimtza v'yatzas v'chazer v'chimtza mahu. You're telling me the mincha has to be kosher in order for you to be liable if you make it chametz, right? That's what you're telling me. So what if you made it chametz, so you're liable once, for sure. Then it left the Beis HaMikdash. which now is a separate psul, and then came back in and you added to the chimutz. You made it chametz further. Remember the discussion yesterday about machametz hachametz. Mao, what's the rule? Kaven diyatzisiv slala biyotzei v'chiyadar machmetz slala mechayev ala mishra machmetz hachametz. On the one hand, I'll say, now it has a separate disqualification because it left. Therefore, it's now under the category of mincha psula, and you're not chayev for additional chimutz. That's one way to look at it. O Dilma, or perhaps I'll say no. Kaven dechimtza pos psul yotzei lo mahani bei. Once it became chametz, it already was disqualified, and yet we said you're liable for additional chimutz. This added disqualification of it left is irrelevant, because that didn't change its status at all. It was posul anyway. V'chi hader machmitzla, and therefore when you make it chametz again, mechayev ala mishum machmitz achar machmitz, or machametz achar machametz, I should now be liable for the additional chimus process. To which we answer, Egu. Okay, that was number one. Number two, boy Rav Murray. Rav Murray asks, chimtza barosho shal mizbeach mahu. What if it ascended the mizbeach and then you made it chametz? Now what? The pasuk says, "Asher takrivu, that you shall bring." Amar Achmana v'ha'akriva. You already brought this. O Dilma, or not? I should say, "Mechusar haktara k'mechusar meisav dami." It's not on the mizbeach. It's not on the fire. Therefore, I should say you're liable for making a chametz again. Teku. Okay.
What's the starting point that we should make? Becomes vulnerable.
I would say dedication. Dedication in the klisharis, because that's when it actually gets the name.
So beyond four, we just designate this is going to be my mincha. It's when it goes in the klishar, then it comes in the elevated kedusha.
Yeah, I can't prove that at the moment, but I believe so. It's like lina. You know, at the hakdasha is really the hakdasha and the klishar. It's not my personal hakdasha. That would be when I would trigger the title.
What about the yitzia in the first case? Is he not liable chayy for that?
Is he liable for yotzei in general? In other words, I mean the overall concern of yotzei. My gut is to say no, because it's already possible.
Unlike chimutz, which
chimutz has a special gzeras hakasim to tell me mechametz achar mechametz is chayiv. Correct. Okay, so now we go into this pasuk of Asher Takrivu Hashem. Watch this. Now that you deduce komets, the komets status from kol hamincha, Asher Takrivu Hashem lamali. What do you do with the pasuk of Asher Takrivu, which sounds like it's talking about the komets itself? Rashi says. So what's the added lesson? I already know that you can't make the komets into chametz. You need it for the following rule. Lecha desanya. Here is a brisa. Asher takrivu, that you shall bring, l'rabos minchas nisachim l'chimutz diver Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili deduces from there that a minchas nisachim is also liable for chimutz. Minchas nisachim, remember, is if I'm bringing an animal as a carbon and I bring flour along with it as an adjunct, I'm chayav there too. I might have thought not. I might have thought the law of chimutz applies only to a standalone mincha, and therefore he teaches me that even the minchas nisachim, and I'm sorry, that's not only the only point. The other point is, no part of it is eaten, like other menachos. It's all being burned on the mizbeach. So therefore, I would have said, you're not going to be chayav. Kamash Malan, it teaches me that you are. This is all version one, by the way. There are going to be two versions of this debate. But that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva Omer Larabos Lechem Hapanim Lechimutz. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's to teach me that they're liable if Lechem Hapanim, the showbread, become chametz, even though the showbread doesn't go on the Mizbeach. There is no Takrivu going on. It's not going on the Mizbeach. Nonetheless, you're still going to be chayav. That's the end of the quote. So the Gemara now asks, no, we said the Shtei Alechem and 10 of the Lachmei Todar Chametz. Lechem Panim are not. I have a great word from the Avnei Nezer, but it's going to have to wait. We'll see if we finish the daf today. Then we'll get to the Avnei Nezer. He has a beautiful explanation for why the Lechem Panim cannot become Chametz. It's great. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't. If not, ask me outside. But that's our opening, is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Lili have machlokes about what to do with this Asher Takrivu Lashem. So the Gemara challenges and says, wait a minute. First of all, Rabbi Yosef Lili is telling me the Minchas Nisachem is subject to the Isur Chimutz. Minchas Nisachem me peros hein, o heim. All you mix in is oil. As me peros. U me peros ein machmitzin. That can't make you chametz, right? Subject to the debate, will it be chametz nuksha? Will it be chametz? We discussed that. So Amar Reish Lakish, Omer Hayy, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Minchas Nisachem me gablo b'mayim. Reish Lakish answers that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that Minchas Nisachim can act. actually be mixed with water. And since it can be mixed with water, that way it could become chametz. That's a theoretical possibility. Lechem aponim, the Gemara says, but wait a minute, lechem aponim, the showbread, midas yaveshi, is measured out only in kelim that hold dry. Ushman alele Rabbi Akiva, domer midas yavesh lo niskacha. Rabbi Akiva's view, which we'll get to in the Gemara, is that the kelim that held dry flour were not kodesh, and therefore this thing should not be subject to the laws of chimut. That may answer your question, Harold. It has to be in that kli in order for it to become subject to the laws of not becoming chametz. So shalach ravin, it should say mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan kach hi hatzah shal mishnah ve'epuch. He says you're right. We have to flip our reading of the mishnah. Rabbi Yosi Aglili has to be reversed with Rabbi Akiva. And this is the way to read it. Asher takrivu l'rabos lechem aponim l'chimu, it's to teach me the law about lechem aponim, that's Diva Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who believes that the Kli, in fact, is Kodesh, and therefore lechem aponim, they become chametz. You're liable if you let the lechem aponim become chametz. Rabbi Akiva omer l'rabos minchas nesachim l'chimu, and Rabbi Akiva is the one who mentions the minchas nesachim. So flip the machlokas on its head. Va'azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh. And Rabbi Yochanan, in this, Ravin citing Rabbi Yochanan, that you flip the machlokes, that's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. That's Rabbi Yochanan's view elsewhere also regarding which kelim became kodesh. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yossi Aglili ve'echad mitamidei Rabbi Yishmael amru davar echad. Rabbi Yossi Aglili and one of the students of Rabbi Yishmael agreed. And who are they? Umanu, who is the student of Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yoshia. That's Rabbi Yoshia talking. Disanya, as the following Brisa explains regarding the dedication of these kelim. Vayim shachem vayikadesh osam, the Pasuk says. He anointed them, and he sanctified them. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, midas halach nimshach bein bebifnim bein mibachutz. He says the kelim that were used for liquids, those were dedicated inside and outside. They had kedusha in the inside and outside of the kli. Midas yavesh, those that hold flour, that hold dry things, nimshachu mibifnim ve'ein nimshachu mibachutz. They were only dedicated. They were only anointed on their interiors, not their exteriors. That's the osam excludes the exterior of the yavesh according to Rabbi Yoshia. That's Rabbi Yoshia, and that's also Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And therefore, the lechem aponim can become kodesh in their midas hayavesh, and therefore, if you make them chametz, you're liable. That's one shita. Rabbi Yonasan, on the other hand, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, midas halach nimshachu nimshach mibifnim, ve nimshach mibachutz. He says the moist ones only had anointing inside, and midos yavesh lo nimshachu kol ikar, the dry ones were not anointed at all. That's him, and that's shitas Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the lechem aponim cannot become kodesh. Teda lachashere ein mekachos, and he says I'll prove it to you. They don't make things holy. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, regarding the shtei lechem on Shavuos, mimo Shavuos echem taviu lechem tenufah shtayim shnei asurim solas tiyana chametz tefena bikurim lashem. It says they are lashem. Emasai hein lashem. When do they become Hashem's? La'achar shenefu. Once they are already chametz tefena, after they are already baked, they don't become kodesh in the midas hayavish. That's the support for the view of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yonasan. So two different views about whether the dry kelim sanctify or not. If you say that they do sanctify, then the lechem aponim should not be allowed to become chametz. If they don't sanctify, then the lechem aponim can become chametz without you being liable. They'll be possible, but you won't be liable for it. I want to go weiter with it. I'm sorry, we're at 6:23 already, and so we're going to have to go weiter with it. B'maika miflagi. What exactly is the core machlokas here? What's the core debate? B'osam. It's all about this word osam. Vayim shachem vayikadesh osam. Rabbi Yoshia sabar osam lema'ute midas yavesh b'chutz. Rabbi Yoshia says that osam is to exclude the exterior of the dry kli. Rabbi Yonasan sabar midas yavesh cholo. Rabbi Yonasan says no. Midas yavesh is entirely, the dry ones are entirely mundane. V'lo itzchach kra lema'ute. You don't need a pasuk to exclude them. Ki itzchach kra lema'ute midas lach b'chutz. It's only to exclude the exterior of the moist kli. That's all. The kli that's holding moist, that's holding liquids. So leimanami Rabbi Akiva vechad mitamidei Rabbi Shmuel amru davar echad umanu Rabbi Yonasan. Well, in that case, why did you tell me that Rabbi Yosi Aglili agrees with Rabbi Yoshia without telling me that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yonasan? The two seem to be parallel. Mishum delo shavu b'midas lach lahadadi. They don't agree regarding the moist one, regarding the liquid one, because according to Rabbi Yona son, the exterior of the moist one is also excluded. Rabbi Akiva does not make that exclusion. Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, this is now a tangent on that. Va'ika bisa delachu. He says, well, it's not really a tangent. He says, when you do your lechem haponim, you know, you take the flour and you mix it with the oil in a bisa. A bisa is a kli that holds lach, that holds liquid. So Amar Lei Kigon Shalash Agabe Kitavulia. He says, no, it's talking about you didn't knead it in the bowl. You took a piece of hide and you did the kneading on the hide. So therefore it was not in a kli. Well, in that case, I can make everything easier. Just knock out your kelim from the process altogether. If so, when Rabbi Yochanan brought his proof from the Shtei Halachim and the fact that it doesn't become subject to the law of chumot until after baking, I'll tell you, that doesn't teach me anything about the midas hayavesh. It doesn't teach me about kelim that hold dry things. Lemalei, answer him, could go to kaila b'yisaron d'chol. It's where he measured it out in an yisaron kli that wasn't kodesh. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta. No, here is now. These are two different things. Bishlama Bisa lo kasa brachmana deleyavin Bisa lemelash bay. Regarding the kneading kli, I understand, because the Torah never mentioned anything about a kli for kneading. So you could say he did it on a hide. That's not a big deal, doing the kneading on a hide. Ela Isaron, but the Isaron came and Dam Rachmana Avid Isaron Vakayo Bay, since the Torah says, make an Isaron. It uses the term Isaron. And use it to measure it out. The Seshavik Isaron de Kodesh Vakayo de Isaron de Chol, you're going to do it in a private one? That makes no sense. So the upshot of this discussion, I think maybe what we'll do is we'll actually stop with that rather than try to rush into the next discussion. I feel bad about being 15 lines short, but it makes more sense. We have tomorrow. Tomorrow exists yet. But the upshot of the discussion is that the Midos Halach, Midos Hayavesh, is a machlokes. According to one view, the exterior of the dry and the interior and exterior of the lach make things kodesh. According to the other view, the Yavesh doesn't make anything kodesh. Only the lach makes things kodesh. And that will determine what I will believe about the Isser on making the Shtei Alechem into Chametz. At what point that, I'm not talking about the Shtei Alechem, Lechem Apanim, at what point that kicks in? I'll have to hold over the Avnei Nezer till tomorrow also. It's a beautiful Avnei Nezer on why the Shtei Alechem have one, why the Alechem upon him cannot be Chametz, but the Shtei Alechem are Chametz. It's a beautiful idea. Sorry?
I always have visions of these pictures of the Alechem upon him. It's 12 loaves of bread.
Yeah. Right. Harold, you had a question?
How many menachot are there that do pizza after their
I have to go back to my original introduction to menachot sheet. I don't remember offhand.
The first letter says menachot are all the vulnerable.
Yeah.